والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We were discussing around this hadith of our beloved Prophet, and our conversation was regarding the 8 components of every travel. We discussed that the physical travel requires the mabda, means the origin, and the muntaha, means the destination, and the masafat, means the distance, and the masir, which means the path that has to be tread, and zad means the necessary things required for our survival during the trip, and the rahila, which means the means of transportation, and seventh of all, the rafiq, the companion of the trip, and eighth of all and last of all, the most important among all the 8, is the guide. Similarly, the spiritual travel, the ruhani travel that we are discussing in these nights, likewise requires these 8 components. In the previous lessons, we discussed about the mabda and the origin of the travel of the soul, and the destination and masafat, destination and the distance and the path and the zad. And tonight we are discussing the rahila, means the means of transportation. In the case of the spiritual travel that we are discussing, the means of transportation is obviously the human body, our scholars of akhlaq say, because of the fact that the soul is contained inside the body. Soul does not exist outside the body. Because the soul is contained inside, so the rahila, means the means of transportation of this soul, is the human body. And that's where the role of kasb al-ma'ash kicks in. That means we need to make an earning from the halal so that our physical body can survive in a respectable way, protecting our ruhaniyat and spirituality. Talabul Fudul, seeking more than the darurat and necessity, is condemned in Ilm al Akhlaq. When it comes to seeking the risk, we are stopped by the Ilm al Akhlaq, the knowledge and science of Islamic morality, to go for more risk than our darurat and necessity. That does not mean that if a person earning the risk more than is becomes haram. In Islam, we can always earn as much risk as we want, but obviously, if you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you keep Allah in your minds, then more than your own necessity of life, whatever risk you are seeking for the sake of serving Allah, serving Islam, is also a daruratun shar'iyya. It's also an Islamic necessity, and it will not be condemned. What is condemned is the person who seeks the risk more than the darurat. Seeking the risk for the sake of Allah is not more than the darurat. And it is important to keep in mind that the dunya which is condemned in our Ilm al-Akhlaq is that attachment to this temporary world which blocks us from doing our fara'id and duties. That is what we call dunya, and there is the biggest and asasi and fundamental haram in Islam, because all the rest of the harams that the people are doing are based on this haram, which means hubbu dunya. This is what we have been warned about. So we keep away. When we say we keep away from dunya, it means we keep away from getting attached towards dunya. That means we keep away from that kind of attachment and alaqat and irtibatat with this dunya, which block us from doing our fara'id. This is what we mean. So at no cost we should allow anything of this life of the dunya to stop us from doing our fara'id. If you find anything in the life of this dunya is stopping you from doing your fariza, it means we discover that now there is one or several attachments with dunya taking place, and this is what is haram. So in Islam, we get attached towards akhirat instead of dunya. Ad-dunya haramun ala ahli al-akhirah, wal akhiratu haramun ala ahli al-dunya, wa huma haramani ala ahli Allah. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dunya is haram on those who belong to akhirat, and akhirat is haram on those who belong to dunya. Wa huma, that means dunya and akhirat both, are haram on those who belong to Allah. Dunya had been presented in front of the Prophet, and also the akhirat, and he did not even pay attention to none of those two. Because once the Prophet has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his side, he doesn't need nothing else. Once a person has Allah on his side, he does not need nothing else. This is the status and manzilat of Ahlullah. That's that highness. Islam is such a beautiful religion which is trying us to take us to that high level by keeping away from all these harams. قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ. Isn't that right? Come up. My teacher was saying, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, he was saying, fear the The word ta'ala in Arabic is used when the person who is speaking is standing on a higher level than the person who is the muhatab and audience. So Prophet is already on the highest level because he has already said in his hadith, Ana wa Ali wa Fatima wal Hasan wal Hussein fi qubbatin bayda fi hadirat al Quds fi qubbatin bayda. Isn't it right? Me and Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam are in hadirat al Quds. Hadirat al Quds is the highest level in paradise, in the white dome fi qubbatin bayda saqfuha arshur Rahman azza wa jal. Its ceiling is the arsh and throne of Rahman. So Prophet is already on the highest level. He has a right to say ta'alaw. So if a person, if the mutakallim, the speaker, and mukhatab, the audience, are both standing on the same level, in the Arabic, we don't use the word ta'alaw. We use ilayya. Come towards me. So when Prophet is saying, my teacher says, when Prophet is saying ta'alaw, qul ta'alaw, Allah is commanding the Prophet to say to the people, qul ta'alaw. So Prophet, it means that Prophet is standing on the higher position and he wants us, the Islamic Ummah, to join the Prophet by through, how can we join the azamat of the Prophet? No one can be like him. But at least we can finally reach to certain darajat of azamat by following his footsteps. How can we join the Prophet in his ulu and darajat and rif'at and greatness and highness? Atluma harrama rabbakum. I recite upon you what your Lord made haram. So when we abstain from the harams that the Prophet has defined in the Sharia, by abstaining from every haram, we elevate our spirituality. This is what we are talking about, that we perform our fara'is without getting attached towards the love of this dunya that blocks us from doing these various harams for the sake of the life of this dunya. So, if a person, our scholars of akhlaq say, if a person is doesn't have the tazkiyat al-nafs, doesn't have the taharat and cleanliness in the soul, and he is attached towards this dunya, then he's not going towards the destination. Just like you imagine there is a donkey, himar, who is tied up to a well. In old days they used to tie up animals and the animals used to rotate around the well and it helped them to take water out of the well. And the whole village used to drink water from the well. Isn't that right? The animal is tied up with a rope and that rope helps the water to come out through a pulley. So our scholars of akhlaq give this example. A person who is working for his dunya is just like the donkey who is tied up to the rope and he is constantly rotating around there. It is not going to take him nowhere. He is going here. He is there to stay. Isn't it right? He is not traveling. He is not going. He is there. So when we are here to travel and depart this dunya to reach the taqarrub and closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to depart. We cannot stay. So, it's the person who is attached to the love of this dunya is just like the himar and donkey who is tied up to a well and he's just rotating around his own hawa nafs, khahishat nafsani, and rotating and rotating and rotating. And he is be stuck where he was unless he gets out of his desires and starts moving towards the destination and departing this dunya and its attachments. So the safarun ma'nawi, the metaphysical travel, is also like this. So we require that a person is becomes mu'addab with the adab and sunan and the mustahabbat and the wajibat of the sharia. So adab, the etiquettes, help a person to abide by the mustahabbat. And mustahabbat help the person to abide by the wajibat. A person who doesn't take care of the wajibat, doesn't take care of the mustahabbat and recommended things of the sharia, can always end up committing a haram in his life. because there is no cushion, there is no margin left, for he did not leave a cushion, a margin, you know, between him and the red line. He's already walking next to the red line. Isn't it right? So mustahabbat are custom created by Allah in the Sharia to protect us and serve as a cushion protecting us from ending up into the harams in our life. So a person who actually, Shaheed Asani rahmatullah alayh, one of our great maraji from Lebanon, in his book Sharhul Lum'ah al-Dimashqiyya, he says that according to his fatwa, he says that a person who does not perform none of the mustahabbat in his life and does not avoid from none of the makruhat in his life, it is not possible for us to apply the hukum of adil and just person upon him. So this was his fatwa and opinion that he mentioned in his famous book, that every alim in the Islamic Shia world reads this book. You cannot find any house or any madrasa where the student and talibul ilm did not read Sharhul Lum'ah. So basically, mustahabbat and adab and sunan are very important in addition to the wajibat to tame our desires and get out of the attachment of these shahawat and desires, so we don't rotate like a donkey rotating around the well, going nowhere in his life, and we behave like human beings. So obviously this is the means of transportation is the body, which becomes strong through seeking the food. قَوِّ عَلَىٰ خِدْمَتِكَ جَوَارِحِ Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam says in Nahj al-Balagha, strengthen my parts and limbs of the body. عَلَىٰ خِدْمَتِكَ On your service. That means my body should be strong in your service. So having a strong body is good in Islam. There's nothing wrong with that. And obviously the strength of the body comes from the food. It doesn't have to be an expensive food, because Imam Ali alayhi salam's food was the cheapest possible foods. And when someone objected on Imam Ali alayhi salam and said, you know, you don't eat much, Imam Ali alayhi salam replied, Inna shajaratul barriyata aslabu udan. You know, the tree which is related to, you know, basically the wild trees grown in the, you know, deserted areas, their wood is harder. So as compared to those of the trees, you know, in other words, which are growing in other areas. So basically, it doesn't require for a person to have an expensive food to gain the power and the strength, which if you work for the sake of Allah, you will end up having the spiritual power as well, which obviously comes through the adab and sunan and the wajibat and abstaining from the haram and the makruhat. This gains the ruhani and spiritual power in the person. When Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Ma qala'tu baba khaybara bi," I did not take out the door of Khaybar with my physical power. Instead, I took out with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the quwwatun rabbaniya that helped Imam Ali alayhi salam to take the door of Khaybar out. From the human perspective, it's impossible, because there are 40 men, 40 humans used to move the door open and shut. 40 people used to push the door to make it open or to shut it. Humanly speaking, it's impossible. There is no way a human can do that, unless if a person has quwwatun rabbaniya like Imam Ali alayhi salam, then obviously everything is possible. So earning the dunya is very good. Nothing wrong with that. Depends on your niyat and your hadaf. If your niyat is Allah and your goal is to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even if you make more money, more than your personal necessities, but you will keep Allah in mind, anything you make more than your necessities, you're not going to go for hirs and greed. You will make more money with a hadaf in mind, that I will make more money for the sake of serving more towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. like Hazrat Khadija salam Allah alayha. She was, you know, very faqir and poor person in her personal life. Nothing changed. Her lifestyle did not change by making a lot of money. Islam changed because of her. Islam elevated because of her. You know, all the money of Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha was used up during the years of Sha'b Abi Talib. You know, when Prophet had to stay in the desert, that the money of Hazrat Khadija was used up to protect Islam. So if a person makes more money with the niyat of, makes billions of dollars for the niyat of serving Islam, this is not hubb ad-dunya. This is ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we make more money for the sake of hirs and greed, this is what is called dunya, and it will be condemned, you know, because it will block us from doing our fara'is. Let's move on towards the seventh component of the travel, which is rafiq. Rafiq means companion. Ilm al-akhlaq teaches us we should not go out on any travel. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Iza kharaja salasatun falyu'ammiru ahadahum." If three go out, they must make one as Amir. In Islamic teachings, there is no room for us, for any group of people who believe in Allah. There is no room in Islam that Allah can leave any group of people without a leader. This is unthinkable. This is unthinkable. The first thing Allah created was the leader. أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ النُّورِ. Isn't it right? The leader of the universe was created first. So universe cannot complain to Allah, "Ilahi, you created me, but I could not get your guidance and hidayat because there was no hadi and guide to guide me." So nobody can complain, because the first creation of Allah was the hadi for the universe. So Allah's policy is that leader comes first and leader goes last. لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا إِثْنَانِ. If no one survives on the face of earth except two human beings, لَكَانَ أَحَدَهُمَ الْإِمَامِ. So one of the two has to be the imam of the time. Obviously, and the last person to go also has to be the imam, because the universe cannot survive. So basically, Allah's policy is that the imam comes first and imam goes last. Nothing can survive without the imam. So it's no wonder when we find so much ta'keed and emphasis, even if you're going from one city to another. Let's suppose we are going from Seattle to New York, you know, or even any closer distance with a bunch of people with us. Ilm al-akhlaq teaches us we must assign one person among ourselves as our amir and let him decide. Let him decide and make decisions in the matters of controversy. And we obey him and follow him. Obviously, we need to obey the rules and the shara'it and the mi'yar and mizan for who deserves to be the leader. I mean, among ourselves, we need to take care of those shara'it. Just like if you remember, I mentioned in one of the khutbas in the Eid a few years ago about the Suratul Baqarah, if you remember. I mentioned that incident. Our Prophet was sending an army somewhere and he asked the people, in front of him, "Mada ma'aka min al-Qur'an?" How much Qur'an do you have? And the guy replied, "Kada surah, this surah, whatever, this surah of Qur'an I know." That means the ilm of that surah is with me. I have the knowledge of the ilm of that surah of Qur'an in my soul. So Prophet was asking the same question from every person. How much Qur'an do you have with you? How much Qur'an do you have with you? Look at the mizan of the Prophet. How does he think about the leadership? Who is the leader? Maza ma'aka min al-Qur'an. And finally he encountered a young boy who was young in age, but he replied, "This surah and this surah and this surah." And in the list of the surahs, he also mentioned Suratul Baqarah. He was the only person who mentioned Suratul Baqarah. And Prophet said, "Ukhruju wa hadha alaykum amir." I mean, go out and he is the leader over you. He is the commander over you. So Suratul Baqarah has so much ma'arif and high-level teachings of Quran in it. The person who has the nur of Suratul Baqarah in his soul deserves to be a commander of the army. That's the mizan that the Prophet has for appointing commanders. Obviously, we'll go by the principle. We cannot just appoint leaders without, by ignoring the principles. The power of the body is also important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the story of, you know, Talut and Jalut, زَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. Isn't it right? So he had more knowledge and the jism. So obviously that also has a significance. But more, what is the most important thing is the ilm and taqwa and jihad in the daraja of iman and ma'rifat. So rafiq and companion in a trip. So companions are a component, necessary component in ilm al-akhlaq. When we are going for the spiritual travel, just like the physical trip, it helps you and assists you from various ways to have a companion and not to go out alone and end up in ghurbat and loneliness. Similarly, in the spiritual travel, it helps a lot more, much more than the physical travels, to have rufaqa and companions. So basically, in Islam, the best companions are obviously the Anbiya, Nabiyeen, and Shuhada, and Siddiqeen, and Salihin. وَحَسَنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And they are the best companions. They are the best companions a person can ever get. But in order for us to be a companion with them, to be among them, along with them, in the Day of Judgment, our scholars say that this ma'iyyat and companionship on the Day of Judgment among the Nabiyeen and Siddiqeen and Shuhada and Salihin requires that we become a companion with them in this world. Because innal mauta ala waznil hayat fakama ta'ishuna tamutun wa kama tamutuna tub'asun. So death is always on the wizan, on the format of your lifestyle. The way you are living now, today, in your dunya, in the same, precisely, exactly the same way you will be in your after the death, in the same situation, same condition, and the way you will be on the after your death, in the same way you will be resurrected. So, so basically, we need to make sure that we earn the ma'iyyat and companionship of these personalities. And we make sure that in this life of dunya, we are with the Anbiya and Siddiqeen and Shuhada and Salihin. If we are with them today, we will be with them after the death and on the Day of Judgment. If we are not with them today, we can never be with them after death, and we can never be with them on the Day of Judgment. So, so it is a rafiq of the safar is very much important. Now, obviously, this is going to be found when a person sticks with the jama'at. Rufaqa and companions of the spiritual travel can be discovered by those who are living in the jama'at. Didn't the Prophet say in his hadith that, you know, yadullahi ala al-jama'ah, hand of Allah is over the jama'at. In Islam, we are required to stay with the mainstream. Who is the jama'at? Who is the mainstream community? Everybody can claim, well, I am the mainstream and the rest of the people need to join me. In Islam, we have a concept of jama'at. Jama'at itself is a concept which we learn from the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And when we stick with the jama'at, we will help to get a rafiq, a companion of the safar and travel. So jama'at, Prophet had said, man faraqa jama'at al-muslimin faqad khala'a ribqat al-islam. Whoever gets separated from the mainstream Muslim community, he has taken the yoke of bondage away from his neck. That means he no longer is a Muslim, in other words. So a person no longer remains to be called a Muslim if he departs the Jama'at al-Muslimin, the mainstream community. So then somebody asked the Prophet, ma jama'atu ummatika ya Rasulullah, what is the mainstream community of your ummah? And Prophet replied, jama'atu ahlil haqq wa in qallu. That means the people of ahlul haqq, people who belong to haqq, although they may be less. Another hadith says, wa in kanu ashratan. That's the madhuna riwayah. That's even though they may be 10. Even if there are 10 people on haqq, we stick with those 10 people. Numbers don't count in Islam. So we need to stick with the jama'at of ahlul haqq. Shaitan is more easily becoming ghalib and overcoming the people who break away from the jama'at. We're not supposed to break away from the mainstream community of haqq at any cost, because this is now we are becoming more vulnerable for shaitani, satanic attacks on our soul. Because when you are in the group of Ahlul Haqq, you are protected. If you get separated from the group of Ahlul Haqq, you are more vulnerable towards, just like a ghanam, just like you find a sheep or a goat. Isn't that right? So a goat, if gets separated from the herd of the sheep, herd of the goat, you find the wolves are there to attack them. So that's like even in the hadith it says, فَإِذَا وَجَدَ رَجُلًا هُوَ أَعْلَمْ بِغَنِيهِ. So when a person seeks a shepherd for his herd of the goats, he will get the most knowledgeable person about his goats. So if he finds something better than, more knowledgeable than him, he will remove this guy and replace him with a new person who has more knowledge about his goats. So when a person who owns the sheep does this kind of behavior towards the shepherd of his goats, obviously we are human beings superior than the haywanat, and we are supposed to always go by those who have more knowledge and taqwa and shuja'at and basirat and wa'i and political awareness about the Islamic ummah. So when the tahuts are playing with their destiny, when Salman Rushdie comes and insults the Holy Prophet, our leader can raise the voice. Isn't that right? This is how we are supposed to do. This is very logical. We Muslims are the most peaceful people. We have a right to defend ourselves, and we have a right to defend the dignity of the Prophet. So there is no taqaddus and qudsiyat for you if you are not ready to defend the Prophet. What kind of taqaddus you have? We earn the whole taqaddus from Rasulullah. If you are not ready to defend the izzat of Rasulullah, then how in the world can you get the taqaddus and holiness? From where? There is no holiness other than Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So this is how the leader is. This is how the Imam al-Muslimin is supposed to be. So shaitan, the hadith says, إِلَى الْمُنْفَرِدْ أَقْرَبْ مِنْهُ إِلَى الْجَمَاعَةِ. Shaitan is closer towards a person who singles out, is away from the, in other words, from the jama'at, from the mainstream. Shaitan is closer towards a person who's singled out away from the mainstream, as compared to the jama'at, to the mainstream community. So it is our responsibility to stick with the Jama'at al-Muslimin, that means the Ahlul Haqq, although they may be 10 in number, although they may be less than 10 in number. Isn't that right? So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says that if all the people on the face of earth die, which I'm paraphrasing the hadith in my own words, if all the people on the planet earth die except me, and I have the Quran with me, mastawhashto, I will not be afraid. See, loneliness has a fear. There is a phobia related to loneliness. Isn't that right? Some people get afraid when they're alone. There is nobody there to have uns and being familiar with them. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is so much familiar with the noor of Quran that he has wahdat ittihad. The noor of the Imam and Ma'soom is muttahid with the noor of Quran. If all the people die, he is not scared as long as he has Quran with him. So this is, we need to be ma'noos with the noor of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and we need to stick with the jama'at of Ahlul Haqq, although they may be less in number, and not get afraid. Obviously, it requires keeping away from the harams. You know, keeping the rifaqat of salihin always requires us not to do harams. That salihin cannot stick with the fusaq and muslimin. Isn't that right? Firru kull al firar min al fasiq al fajir. Sadaqa Amir al Mumin alayhi salam. When a person is fasiq and fajir, we need to run away from him. Firru kull al firar min al fasiq al fajir. So we don't even get close to the fasiqeen, except for doing amr bil ma'roof and nahy anil munkar. We don't get close to them. So obviously, in order for us to be rafiq of Ahlul Haqq, we need to abide by the Hukukullah and Hukukun Nas. This scholar was participating in the janazah. One of the Urafa was participating in the janazah. And of a mu'min, obviously it is so much sawab in Islam to be there in the tashiyul janazah. When somebody passes away, we should take leave from our job. This is the time well spent, very well spent. Taking leave from a job and go and participate in the janazah of a mu'min. Isn't it right? There's a lot of sawab. No matter how busy you are, if you can spare your time, if it is possible for you, spare your time and go there. It is sawab in Islam. So this Arif, he participated in the janazah of this mu'min, and all of a sudden he turned back from the middle of the tashi'il janazah, middle of the funeral procession. He came back, but did not continue. And somebody asked him the reason why did you came back from the middle of the funeral procession. He said, well, because when I had a look over the tabut, over that coffin box carrying that person, I had a look towards that. I found there was a big, thick dog sitting inside the coffin instead of a human. So I thought, said to myself, there's no need for me to be participating in the janazah of a dog, kalb. There's no benefit of me doing that. So I came back in the middle. And this is what our scholars of akhlaq say, somebody who is a bad tongue, ghalizul lisan, is no fahashun bazi, somebody who has no control over his tongue. You know, he can say whatever he wants to say without control. You know, just like a dog. This person is like kalb in his batin. So obviously, Hukukullah and Hukukun Nas has to be protected in order for us to make sure we can secure the ma'iyyat of Salihin. Salihin are not going to stay with Fasiqeen. It's not going to happen. They are Salih. So, Firru Kull al Firar, Amir Mumin has already said, run away. Complete escape. Kull al Firar, complete escape from a Fasiq and Fajir person. So, obviously, it's our responsibility to be very particular about that. Inshallah, we will continue about the last segment of our discussion in this part about the guide in the program after the Muharram. The month of Muharram is about to start, and this is one of the Ashhurul Hurum, one of the 4 months where in Islam, the qital is haram. This is one of the sacred months of Islam. There's a lot of sawab, brothers and sisters, to do fasting on the first of Muharram. A lot of sawab to fast on the first of Muharram. And at the time of iftar, whatever dua you have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek your dua. At that time, that was the time when the dua of Hazrat Zakariya ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam was accepted about his son Yahya. Hazrat Zakariya was an old man and he did not have any children, and his wife was unable to give birth. And that was the time on the first of Muharram when he did the dua about Hazrat Yahya salamullahi alayhi, who is the closest and most similar person in all the Anbiya of Allah towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And our scholars have mentioned approximately 7 or 8 points of shabahat and tashbih between Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam. 7 or 8 points which makes them so much similar. His hamal was also for 6 months only in the womb of the mother. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's hamal was also for 6 months only. And so and so forth, several, 7 or 8. So this is the month which belongs to Sayyidul Shuhada Hussein ibn Ali alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And we have a great responsibility towards the Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam in this month and throughout the year in all the months. And a great responsibility towards the blood and dima of all the Shuhada of Karbala alayhim alaf al-tahiyyati was-sana was-salam. And obviously when Muharram used to arrive, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam didn't have a smile on his face. He used to wear black. It is makruh in Islam to wear black clothes, except if you are wearing it in the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the aza of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, where it is sawab to wear black. So Imam alayhi salam used to wear black in the aza of Abi Abdullah alayhi salam. And we find that in the hadith, in Kamil al-Ziyarah, we find that Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur, one of the greatest companions of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and Siqa and Mu'assaq, Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur, he says that سمعت أبا عبد الله عليه السلام يقول لرجل من مواليه, I heard Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying to one of his lovers and followers, تزور قبر أبي عبد الله الحسين بن علي عليه السلام, do you go for the ziyarat of the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? And he said, this person replied, نعم إني أزوره بين ثلاث سنين مرة, I go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam once in 3 years. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, فقال له وهو مصفر وجهه, أما والله الذي لا إله إلا هو, I swear to that Allah who there is no Lord worthy of worshipping other than Him, لو زرته كان أفضل مما أنت فيه, if you went for his ziyarat, it would be better in what in this in, from the situation in which you are in right now. In other words, I mean your situation right now, you would be in a better situation than this if you visited Imam Hussein alayhi salam. فقال له جعلت فداك أكل هذا الفضل, this much fadilat. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replies back, Ibn Quluway rahmatullah alayh, in the Mu'tabar tradition has narrated in Kamul al-Ziyarah, where he says, Na'am, Imam Hussein said, yes, Wallahi law nim inni haddathukum bi fadli ziyaratihi, I swear to Allah, if I inform you about the fadilat of the ziyarat, of his ziyarat, wa bi fadli qabrihi, and the fadilat of his qabr, lataraktum al-hajja ra'san, you people would have quitted Hajj totally. In other words, you would, none of you would go for Hajj. You would just leave the Hajj. وَمَا حَجَّ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٍ, none of you would go for Hajj. وَيْحَكَ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَ كَرْبَلَاءَ حَرَمًا آمِنًا مُبَارَكًا قَبْلَ أَن يَتَّخِذَ مَكَّةَ حَرَمًا. Allah subhanahu, didn't you know that Allah has taken or chosen Karbala to be a haram which is secure and mubarak before taking Makkah as a haram? So we must understand that this is the time where we are mourning for Abi Abdullah alayhi salam along with all the mawjudat. We are not alone. All the malaika of Allah, the anbiya, the shuhada, This is one of the things where you can have refaqat, companionship with all of those great personalities. This Buka al-Husayn and Ziyaratul Husayn alayhi salam, Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam, this is going to make us rafiq and provide us ma'iyyat and companionship with whom? With all the malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are crying over Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. All the anbiya are crying over Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. All the shuhada cry for him. All the siddiqeen cry for him. All the saliheen cry for him. All the awsiya cry for him. And all the mu'mineen who care about Imam Husayn alayhi salam, and those who cannot cry can even make a face. Man baka aw abka aw tabaka wajabat lahul jannah. Isn't that right? So if we can have tabaki, if we cannot cry ourselves or we cannot make other people cry, we can always make a face as if we are crying. And we will be included because of our shabahat with the baqeen, with those who are crying. We make our face similar to them, and because of the shabahat and resemblance, we will be counted as one of those who have cried. This is the rahmat of Allah. So Buka al-Husayn is one of the greatest values of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, of Islam. We want our kids to be crying. That's why I always say in various cities that please hold your majalis, your baramij, your programs in your centers in English language. I don't see the youth who are born and raised in America having tears in their eyes over Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. And this is a warning I am giving as a fariza among Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of you. Please hold your programs in your places, in your centers, in your masajid, in your Husayniya, in the English language, so our kids learn about Imam Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. They also cry like the elders cry. We don't want our kids to be mahroom from the Buka al-Husayn. Because our urafa say, everything, every ni'mat of Allah that we receive in our lives is through the Buka al-Husayn alayhi. Every ni'mat we receive is because of that. So how can we underestimate the value of the Buka? The Buka al-Husayn alayhi salam is the one that empowers us to take a stand against the tughyan of the tawagheet. Buka al-Husayn is a slap on the face of zalimeen. Buka al-Husayn is a guarantee that we will be doing istiqamat on the path of the siratul mustaqeem. Buka al-Husayn is a guarantee that we will abstain from the haram, because Imam Husayn alayhi salam is the madhar of the ism of Allah, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub wal-Absar. One person comes into the Majlisul Aza of Imam Husayn and he's totally transformed because of the Buka al-Husayn. So we end up abstaining from the harams. Buka al-Husayn is a guarantee that we will do Ithar for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Karbala is a story of Ithar. Isn't that right? Where people are, the Imam Husayn and his people are doing Ithar fi sabilillah. And Buka al-Husayn is a guarantee that we will have the life full of karamat and dignity and izzat, because Imam Husayn as-salam already said, Hayhat minna dhilla. Buka al-Husayn is a guarantee that we will have sabr and patience over all the hardships we face on the Siratul Mustaqeem in our life. And Buka al-Husayn is a guarantee that we will have the end result of our life as shahadat and martyrdom in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Buka al-Husayn is a guarantee that we will be joining the Zumrah and caravan and category of Imam Husayn and Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayhi. Because they don't leave those followers who cry upon them, they don't leave them alone. They are Kareem, Ibn Kurama. They don't leave those who cry on them alone. So we have authentic tradition that tells us that when the people on this planet earth, we learn in the light of the hadith, when people on this earth are holding the Majlisul Aza for Imam Husayn alayhi salam, they are sitting over the wings of the angels. Angels of Allah come and they spread their wings under the feet of those mu'mineen who hold the Majlisul Aza, the Abi Abdullah alayhi salam. So they are not sitting on the ground. When the Mu'tabar Hadith tells us they are sitting over the wings of the Malaika. And these Malaika, when they go away from the earth and towards the heaven, and they have a special smell coming, beautiful smell coming from their existence, from their wujud. And the angels of the heaven ask them, where does the smell coming from? How come you have this smell? And they said, we were there on earth participating, sitting, spreading our wings under the feet of those holding the Majlisul Aza for Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. We participated in the Majlisul Aza on earth. There were a bunch of mu'mineen who gathered and they were talking about Abi Abdullah alayhi salam's musibat and his zikr, and we were spreading our wings under their feet. So this beautiful smell is coming because of that. And then the angels of the heaven say, let us also go to the earth so we can also spread our wings under their feet. And they tell those angels, no need to go there because Majlisul Aza has ended. It has ended. So now we find the angels of the heaven, this Malaikatul Sama, they still go towards the earth. And although the Majlisul Aza has ended, and the people have left the Husayniya or the Masjid, but they still go there and they rub their wings over the Farshul Aza, over the place where the people Mu'mineen were sitting, holding the Majlisul Aza. They rub their wings at that place and they also end up having the same smell coming from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to hold the Majalisul Aza خالصة لوجهه في سبيل الله in the love of Imam Hussein ibn Ali رحمه الصلاة والسلام. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do the buka ala al-Hussein in the real meaning of the buka and the concept which makes us mustaqim and doing istiqamat in the face of zalimeen and tawaghit. That's the real concept of buka. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and to practice those ma'arif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Wakhzul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din. Wakhzul man khazal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfaz wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin. يا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين